want to invite your attention to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. And we'll be reading the second part of that scripture. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, reading the second part of that scripture. It is a joy and an honor to be here and to be with each and every one of you, to be able to feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. I was telling my wife before church, I said, now tonight, I said, you got to watch the altar, because they'll dance in a circle. And I said, and there's this brother that he flips every once in a while. And I didn't see my brother Daniel today. Amen. Praise God. Flipping today. Amen. But I was flipping in my spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But it is good to be in this place. This is an apostolic house, a place of worship and demonstration of the power of God. Aren't you thankful to be a part of this church? In the name of Jesus, Daniel chapter 11 and reading verse 32, the second part. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Whew. Ask your neighbor, do you know God? Kind of ask them with a little attitude if you can. Do you know God? Do you know God? Let us pray in this hour. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are powerful. Whew. There is no God like you. Lord, I pray that you will come in this place again. Show up and show off. Do what you do, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, put the devil in his place and let your name be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Now clap your hands to the Lord and give God the praise in the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of Almighty God. The church today is filled with people who sing about God, talk about God, even wear t-shirts with God messages on them, but they don't even know God personally. They know God from a Sunday to Sunday experience. Basically show up for a Sunday fix. But the Bible says that the people that know their God, that do know their God, God is looking for a people that will draw closer to him in a relationship, not just to get things out of God. Because some folks, they serve God just to get things out of God. Just whatever God could provide for them and do for them, as if God was Santa Claus. In fact, I believe that the craziness that we have been going through in the world has drawn a line between a social church and a real church. A church that only comes together because of seeing one another, and a church that comes together because we come to have church. We come to have a demonstration of the power of God. And so I see people that God is drawing that line in between them. See, the religious world has messed things up because they've made it about things that you can get from God. Your faith is about things, acquiring things. And so they have cheapened faith with a fake message. But I believe that true faith comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, where it don't matter if God ever blesses me again, I will still serve him. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? If he never touches me again, I still serve him. If he never blesses me again, I still serve him. If he never gets me out of debt, I still serve him. Is there anybody that feels that way in the house of the Lord? Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. I love what Job's relationship with God was like. He said, even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Yet will I still serve him. There's another translation that says, even though he chops me up in 1,000 pieces, each piece will still praise the Lord. Praise God. So it don't matter what I go through. If I know that God is still in control, and I know that he looks out for my good, then I can go through hell and know that everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I wish I had somebody right there. Because I know there's some folks, you've been going through some fiery hell in your life. The devil wanted to knock you out, but God still got you in the house of the Lord. I wish I had somebody in this place that you know that if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God, you'd probably be dead already. But God's got you alive. Somebody ought to give God praise. It's time to know God. I want you to look at your neighbor and ask him, do you know him? Do you know God? Or do you just know what people have told you about God? Difference when you come into a relationship with Jesus. Whew, hallelujah. When you know when he talks to you, when he touches you, all of a sudden you're just driving down the highway and you feel the brush of God. Just come into that place. You know God. Jesus came to show humanity a picture of God, a God that they could not see. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Hallelujah. In other words, everything about what we see is because of God. Glory to God. God is not just something up there in the heavens that you do not know or you do not see. Hallelujah. Do you know him? when you know him, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning and the ending, that he is from everlasting to everlasting, that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. When you know that he is an infinite God, hallelujah, he is a self-existing God. He never changes. You don't have to worry about having an attitude change in God, because he does not change. He's not down today and up tomorrow. He is a God that does not change. He's not weak today and powerful tomorrow. He is a God that does not change. Does anybody know that our God does not change? Somebody ought to give him praise in the house of the Lord. I don't hear you. You ought to give him praise. I said you ought to give him praise. When you know that God is omnipotent, he is all powerful. He is in no need of power because he is power. He does not have a deficiency of power. He is power. You and I run out of strength, but God never runs out of strength. God never runs out of power. The devil has power, but it is only the power that God gives him. God don't need power. He is power. And wherever God shows up, the power of God shows up. I wish I had some folks in this house that knows that God is in the house, and where God is, his power is present. Does anybody know that the power of God is in this house? Somebody ought to give God praise right now. I need a little more volume. Clap your hands to the Lord. Our God is omnipresent. He's all over the place. He gets there before I get there. But yet at the same time, he's walking with me. He got there years before I even got there, because he moves within time. In fact, he is not constrained to time, but he moves within time. That's why he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can go into your past, he can come into your present, and he's already working in your future. He's all over the place. I'm only one, but he is all. He moves the everlasting from everlasting. There is no void in God. If you only knew how powerful, how great, how awesome our God is, then you would not allow for anything that the devil throws at you to bring you down. My God, I wish I had some attitude folk in the house. I said, I wish I had some attitude folk in the house. Somebody give God praise. I dare you to tell somebody our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all things. In fact, the wind obeys his voice. He holds the key to death, hell, and the grave. Then when you know how great and how powerful your God is, this makes you strong. I said it makes you strong. I gotta say it again. It makes you strong. Because to know him is to also believe in him. And faith empowers you even in the face of the worst pandemic. Faith will empower you. If you've been down, it's because you don't really see God as your healer, as the power working God. But it don't matter what the world goes through. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. I wish I had an apostolic in this place that got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Somebody ought to give a shout of praise in the house of the Lord. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. What makes you strong is when you got a faith that cannot be shaken. When you know beyond a shadow of doubt, my God's got this. I don't gotta worry. I'm not even gonna waste a tear on it. I'm not even gonna chew my nails on it. Because my God's got this. Baby, when you've got that kind of strength, ain't no devil in hell gonna bring you down. Ain't no situation gonna bring you down. You'll be solid as a rock, standing strong in the power of the Holy Ghost. You become a threat to the enemy because you are a solid, strong believer in God. I wish I had some strong folk in the house. I wish I had some folks in this place that you know that God's got your back. Does anybody know that God's got your back? Somebody ought to lift up a praise right now. Somebody got to reach out and do a little crazy praise. Do a little worship, a little dancing. I feel the glory of God in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it's time for the church to rise up with power. Praise God. I'm going to go to you, but don't abandon me. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to rise up with power. We got to let the world know we are still here. Oh, God, you're going to have to brace yourself because I'm about to preach right now. Hallelujah. I've just been getting into the starting of this. Amen. I want you to listen to me. God never has gone on vacation. But it's like the church has taken a vacation. And it's like the church has taken a backseat. We need the church to be a louder voice than anything that's on the street. We need the church to be a more powerful voice than anything that's out there. We need to declare the power of God. Every time somebody says, well, this other sickness came, but there's still power in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody that believed that in this place tonight? Somebody give God praise in the house. We need Christians that have an unshakable faith, an unmovable faith. You stand with authority. Glory to God. Not run from things, but stand in authority. Know that God's got your back. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Walk in authority. Talk in authority. Glory to God. Be strong in your spirit. Quit being a jellyback. Quit being a whiny kid. It's time to wipe off the tears of your cheeks and begin to lift up your hands and know God's got it all under control. I'm preaching to somebody in this place right now. You got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and let the devil know I'm still alive, baby. I'm still alive and I got fight in my spirit. I got fight inside of me. Is there anybody that's still alive? You got fight up inside of you. You ought to give God praise. I need some fighters up in this house. Somebody give God praise in the house. I need a fighting mama up in this place. I need a fighting daddy up in this place that let the devil know you're not touching my kids. You're not touching my house. You're not touching my family. I'll knock you out. I'll knock teeth out of you. You're going to have a bad day because if you mess with this daddy, if you mess with this mama, it's going to bring nightmares to you tonight. Somebody ought to get an aggressive spirit and let the devil know I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong because I know who my God is. Somebody ought to give a crazy praise right now. Oh God. Clap your hands to the Lord. My God, I feel breakthrough in the house. I don't know who it is, but you've been all cluttered up with fear in your life. But fear is leaving. Let me tell you what fear is. Fear is faith in the wrong direction. Because you're believing that that which you don't want to happen to you will come to you. You're fearing it. You're faithing in the wrong direction. Baby, grab that same faith and put it in the right direction. And I got a feeling you're going to see a miracle happen in your situation. My God, I'm about to go crazy in the house. See, your faith is powerful. Talk to your neighbor. Tell him your faith is powerful. That's why the devil's after your faith. He's not after your house. He's not after your bank account. He's not after your car. He's after your faith. And he'll use these things and touch these things in order to bring your faith down. I'm about to go over there if you don't say nothing. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. He comes after your faith. He doesn't care about your dog foo-foo. He's coming after your faith. Praise God. He's coming after your faith. Because he knows that as long as you got faith, you're powerful. As long as you got faith, you'll go through any storm. You'll go through any trial. You'll go through any sickness. You'll go through any situation because you got faith. So he tries to take your faith away. Somebody ought to let the devil know, my faith is not for sale. My faith is not to be given away. My faith is stronger than this. Somebody give God praise right now. I feel healing already functioning in this house right now. Somebody beginning to feel healing come over their body right now. Why? Because your faith was on the ground, but God's already lifted up your faith in this house. I declare healing in the house. I declare miracles be released in the house. In the name of Jesus, somebody give God praise right now. People that do know their God shall be Lord, separating the boys from the men. Hallelujah. The weak ones. And he's setting up the strong ones. The fakes from the real. Can I preach this? Glory to God. I feel the Lord pushing this church. I'm just going to be so honest. If you have me back, well, praise God. Amen. If you don't, well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just going to be honest. Some of y'all got in this building and you got comfortable. You felt like you arrived and you got comfortable. And you felt like this church, that's it. Hey, we arrived. No, baby. God did not bring you into this building to get comfortable. God brought you into this building to be the light on the hill. God brought you into this building so that on the highway they could see a place that is lit up on fire. God brought you into this building to be an example to the community. Not to get comfortable, but to have the greatest revival you have ever had. Somebody got to give a shout of praise right there. I don't know who you are, but somebody got to. You got a shout all bottled up inside of you. You need to let that go right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Somebody better come and arrest me. I already came out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this, Pastor. Pastor took us on a little tour before we came to church. He showed us the first building. Then he showed us the other building where you guys came out of from here and came to here. And when I saw that building where you guys were at, where I first started going and preaching for y'all, all of a sudden my mind began to remember about your services, where your altars were full of people dancing. You'd bump into each other. You'd start hitting each other in the altar. You had the young ladies and everybody dancing on this side, and you had the men running all over each other and bumping into each other, and my brother flipping right there. Hallelujah. And I remembered that. I remember that. But it's like some folk got a little comfortable in the house of the Lord, that you done forgot where God brought you from to this house. It ain't to become professional, baby. It's to be able to still let the world know we are apostolic. We are crazy. We love God. Oh, Lord, I wish I had somebody right there. Somebody that could give God praise right now. I know some folks, you're saying, well, I'm distancing. My God's still a healer. I said, our God's still a healer. Does anybody know that our God's a healer? Somebody ought to give God praise. Oh, Watch. This is what I feel in my spirit so strong. Hallelujah. Watch. The people that do know their God shall be strong. And what? And do what? And do what? In other words, it's a people that are on demonstration. It's a people that's doing, that's demonstrating the power of God, that's in the community, seeing the sick be healed, seeing demons coming out of people, seeing people being broken out of crack and whatever other kind of whatever it is, chains being broken. That's what God wants in this city. You can be powerful all you want in this building, but God needs you to do exploits out there in the community. My Lord, if I gotta preach it until I get hoarse, I'm gonna do it in the name of Jesus. But there is something that's gonna be broken this house tonight, because I feel that in the middle of all of this, God is bringing the greatest revival into this church, and the church needs to get more active than it's ever been before. Somebody gotta get in the devil's face and let the devil know we're still here. We're still crazy. We're still apostolic. We're still strong. We're the light on the hill. Somebody give God praise right now.
Raise your hands right now. Feel the Holy Ghost.
I need intercessors interceding right now.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. In Jesus' name, watch this. I feel that God is releasing miracles in this house that are going to be a testimony in the community. In the community. The miracle is your protection. And when God blesses a house with miracles, the community begins to see it. And they begin to say, oh, you need healing? Go to that church that's on the hill, and you'll get healing in that place. You need deliverance? Go to that church that's on the hill, and you'll get deliverance in that place. You need healing for your family? Go to that church that's on the hill, and you'll get deliverance for your family. In the name of Jesus, I just got to take a minute right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Glory to the God of glory. And he said, go ye all into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Isn't it interesting that whenever we talk about miracles, we always say God can heal you instead of God will heal you? Oh, it's nice and quiet. I like it when it gets quiet. I've been live streaming for a while, so I'm used to it. Amen. Nobody's saying amen on live stream. Hallelujah. God can heal you. God can heal you. It's about time you can it. Get the can out. Say God will heal you. God will heal you. If you only believe in the can, then you'll never get it. But when you turn the can into a will, all of a sudden you're starting to speak things that are not as though they were. God will heal you. Hallelujah. We got to take that type of authority to say God will heal you. He has all power to do it. And what's powerful is this. He's given you authority to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to stir you up tonight. I'm trying to get a fight back in your spirit tonight. Hallelujah. It's time for revival. It's time for the move of God. It's time for the supernatural. Somebody give a shout unto God right now. Hallelujah. Many years ago, we had come into, when we lived in Mexico City, there was that, they called it the crazy virus, el virus loco, which was mad cow disease, and it came in, people didn't know what it was, and they were freaked out, everybody was freaked out, and anybody that had it had to be isolated and all that kind of stuff. And I remember they called me up in Mexico City, and they said we had only a few cases that had just broke out in the whole country. And they said that this little girl had this virus. It's a virus that attacks the brain. And so they said this little girl's got this virus. And they said like this, they said she has not spoken. She's been in a coma for several days, and the doctors aren't giving her much hope to live. And so we went to that hospital, and when we showed up into that place, there was a doctor. He was all guarded up. He had bandage, everything all guarded up, everything to protect himself from
the virus. And I walked into that place. They wanted to put all the gear on me. Amen. Praise God. I kind of felt like David when King wanted to put all his armor on him. David said, I don't have need of that. Amen. And so I walked into that place, and I was with one of my ushers, and a doctor was in there. He was in there taking notes of everything that was going on. And so when I walked in, the doctor looked at me and he said, what are you doing here? I said, we've come to pray in Jesus' name. And he said, oh, he said, there's a lot of people that have already come. He said, look, and right up on the head rest or whatever of that little girl in that hospital, there was a bunch of saints up there and cards, and there was even curanderos, white magic and black magic and all that kind of stuff. People had gone in there. And he said, everything's come here. They've all come, and they've said that they were going to see something happen. And I just looked at him and I said, yeah, but we come in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We don't come just in any. No. We come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so he was unbelieving, didn't think anything was going to happen. And so stood next to that little girl. She was about 9 years old, had been several days without talking, without anything, just in a coma, several days in that condition. So right there, we just told my deacon, I said, we're going to pray. So we started to pray. And some folks get all theologian in their prayer. They got to get all deep in their prayer. Amen. And throw out King James language. Amen. And thou and thee and praise God. And they get so deep that the Lord will look at one of his angels and say, let me know when they ask for something. Amen. Hallelujah. Like we got, you want to impress God with your prayer. Let me tell you something. God is just as deep as he is simple. You don't have to try to impress God. Faith catches God's attention. It's not how eloquent your prayer is. It's how faith works. Amen. And so I just started praying with my deacon. And I said, Lord, you're a mighty God. I'm believing you're going to touch this girl, heal her body in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is where faith kicks in. There's a lot of you would have been like on the edge of your seat. You're like waiting for me to say an instantly. Amen. A lot of y'all were just right there, just ready. Sometimes there's not an instantly. In fact, a lot of times there's not an instantly. Amen. But your faith still has to be working. Because in that moment, the devil will say nothing happened. But that's where you got to be bold like a lion and say, shut up, it's already done. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Oh God, I feel glory of the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. I dare you to look at somebody and say, it's already done. Take authority right now and just say, it's already done. Somebody got to believe that before you even get home, it's already done. That before you even get home, it's already done. In the name of Jesus.
Somebody got to take that kind of authority and let the devil know you need to shut your mouth, because my God is in control of this, and it's already done. Can somebody give an already done praise right now in the house of the Lord? I said, give an it's already done praise. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I don't know who you are, but before church is over with, pain's gonna leave your body. I said pain's gonna leave your body. Who am I preaching to in this place? I said, who am I preaching to in this place?
Watch this. So I just got down at a chair that was there, and I began to just thank God. You know what crazy faith is? When you thank Him for something you still don't got. Amen. That's the kind of faith that freaks hell out. When you start praising God for something you don't got yet. Why? Because you're praising Him on credit. Hallelujah. You're letting God know your credit is good with me. Your credit is good with me, God. I've already prayed about it. I've already believed it. And now I'm praising You for it. Because I know it's on it. I know it's on its way. Does anybody know that God's credit is good with you? I said, does anybody know that God's credit is good with you? Somebody give a shout of praise.
I see some folks already dancing. Why? Because you're already seeing it coming. You're already seeing it on its way. You're already seeing the miracle already flowing. I declare this week is going to be a week of testimonies, of people declaring, I believed, I worshiped, and I received. Does anybody believe? Can anybody worship about it? Your receiving is coming. Your miracle is on its way. Oh my God. Somebody ought to give a crazy praise. Something that's out of your character right now. Just give God a praise in the house.
My God, I feel the glory of the Lord.
There's a breakthrough in the atmosphere. Somebody give God praise right there.
So as I was thanking God, all of a sudden, I hear the little girl that has been in a coma for several days. And the little girl says, who is he? I don't think you heard that. The girl had been in a coma for several days. And she says, who is he?
The doctor that was in the room, he stands up. He said, what did you say? She says, who is he? I stood up and I said, I'm Mark Drost, and I came to pray for you in the name of Jesus. The girl was let out of the hospital the next day, completely healed by the power of God. by the power of God. Somebody got to give a shout in the house of the Lord.
Why'd you say that, preacher? Because it doesn't matter what the sickness is. God is still able. God is powerful. God is not confined by what the world says. Watch this. He's released by what the church says. Ooh, that's powerful all by itself. My Lord, that could preach all by itself. Hallelujah. When the people say it, we release God to do it. Hallelujah. That's why power is the death and life is in the power of the tongue. If all you're saying is, I hope I don't get sick, baby, get ready to get sick. But if you keep on singing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. If you keep on saying that there is healing in the name of Jesus, if you keep on saying that you are blessed and not cursed, that you're above and not beneath, then baby, what you're going to see is the power of God operating in your situation. Somebody ought to be walking and talking, declaring things into the atmosphere. Begin to attract the supernatural into your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God praise right now. All over this place, I want you to hear me. I feel that God's already started miracles in this place. In the last few, since the beginning of the year, there has been miracles and miracles upon miracles. I have heard of people that they were right at death's door. Watch this, with coronavirus. At death's door, where they called the family in, but God did the miracle. Come on, Holy Ghost. And I feel God wants to release the supernatural in this place right now. Plague has hit your home. Sickness has come against your home. You need to rise up with strength and power. You need to let the devil know no sickness is going to touch my house again. Urabakaya, I need some folks to take authority over that. Urabakaya, you need to paint faith on your doorpost and let the devil know no plague is coming into my house, no virus is coming into my house, no sickness is coming into my house, because our God is a healer. Who am I preaching to in this place? Somebody give God praise right now. If you need a miracle in your body, Hashataya Rabbi. When I call you, if you need a miracle in your body, when I call you, I want you to come running to this altar. And there are some folks that in the process of coming running, you'll receive your miracle in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When I call you, you need a miracle. You better tell your neighbor when he calls you, better get out of my way. I need my miracle tonight. In the name of Jesus, when I call you, you come running. And then I'm going to release a word of faith in this place. God's going to begin to do miracles. I don't even have to lay hands on anybody. Supernatural's already in this house. God's already touched people already. God's already done miracles in this place. God's already done it. In the name of Jesus, you need a miracle. I want you to come running now in the name of Jesus. Stand in this place. Don't come crying, come believing. 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 Don't be feeling sorry for yourself. You ought to start already shouting for your victory. You ought to be shouting already for your victory. You ought to, be shouting already for your victory. I'm going to release this word of faith. And when I release this word of faith, miracles are going to be loosened in this house. Now raise your hands by the authority of the word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus. Lord, release miracles in this place now, now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There, 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 there. There, Urabakataya Rabakataya. Now, in the name of Jesus, toka, touch, Iandorobokotoya Rabakataya. Now, 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 miracles being released in this house. Touch, Urabakotoya Roboshandaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Sutaya. There. 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 Touch. Now. Ooh. Touch. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Miracles now. 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 Somebody got to lift up their voice.
There it is. There it is. Now.
Karabataya, I don't know who you are, but you got that scream all bottled up inside of you. You need to open up your mouth. You need to let that go now. Sataya. There's a breakthrough in that. There's a breakthrough in that. There's a breakthrough in that. Now. Sataya Rabakata. Touch. Rabakataya Rabasandaya. Ahora. Now, in the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. There it is. There. There. Ahora. Urabokotoya. Now in the name of Jesus. Urabakataya Rabashaya. Ahora. Ahora. Toca desde la corona de tu cabeza hasta la planta de tus pies, sanidad divina. Ahora, Uralabakataya Rabashaya, it's all over this place. There, 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 now. Now, touch. Rabakataya Rabashaya. In the name of Jesus. Father, connect. Connect everything. Every connection. We rebuke every attack of the enemy. We declare healing. Let the doctors be amazed. Show off your glory. Show off your power. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now. 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 Jesus' name. Come on, pray for you, okay? Fear gotta go. He tried to shake you up. You're a powerful instrument to God. The enemy tried to shake you up. Shake your faith. In the name of Jesus. Healing from the top of your head. Right now to the sole of your feet. In the name of Jesus. God is placing you in another dimension. Now, in Jesus' name, healing flow. Healing flow. Now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shataya Rabakataya. Thank you. Shataya. Rabakataya Raboshaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Hushaya Rabakataya, Ikaralabataya Raboshaya. I want to pray. I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise in the house. Clap as loud as you can. Clap as loud as you can. Clap until your hands begin to get red. Clap! Clap!
Somebody, while they're clapping, they're getting their breakthrough. While they're clapping, they're getting their breakthrough. While they're clapping, they're getting their breakthrough right now. There are chains that are breaking right now. Chains are breaking now, 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 now. Chains are breaking.
I want you to listen to me. In the name of Jesus. I feel that God has done miracles in this place. Amen. And a lot of times we will leave a service like this and not know if God did anything or if he didn't do anything. And when you do not count the miracles, then the only one that gets praise is the devil. So I want to see right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to see right now everybody that you feel that God has done a miracle in your body, I want you to raise your hand as high as you can. Affliction shall not return a second time. In the name of Jesus, it will not come back. In Jesus' name, it will not come back. It will not come back. Somebody ought to give God a crazy praise right now. I said a crazy praise. I said a crazy praise. If you gotta dance, dance it out. If you gotta jump, jump it out. But give God a crazy praise, something that's out of your character right now. My God, I feel that. I feel it right there. I feel it. Hirabakaya, there's another wave of miracles. There's another wave of miracles. There's another wave of miracles. This wave of miracles are for people that are not even in this building right now. You know somebody that's sick. Can you praise for them right now? Can you dance for them right now? Can you believe miracle for them right now? Because miracles are going beyond these walls. They're going beyond these walls. They're going beyond these walls right now. Give God that praise. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give God praise. I told you that this week is a week of testimonies. I feel to pray for one more thing right now. In the name of Jesus. There are some folks, you were without work. Your finances got rattled, what have you. Amen. And I feel to pray a supernatural financial blessing over your life. That people are going to look at you and they're going to say, how is it that you are blessed when everybody else is not? And you're going to be able to say, because I go to the house of the Lord and God's covering is over my finances. Name of Jesus. Hushatayarabakataya. I want you to raise your hands. In the name of Jesus, I'm praying for your finances right now. Hukatarabashatayarabakataya. In the name of Jesus.
by the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, supernatural financial blessing on your people, that as they are surrounded by people that are broke, they are blessed with abundance. And let it be a testimony of the covering of God upon their life. Lord, I pray for increase. I pray for jobs they never even thought to get. In Jesus' name, I pray for promotions. In the name of Jesus, let checks appear that they never even expected to appear. Lord, supernatural blessing come upon your people in the name of Jesus. Now, if you believe it, you ought to give God a roaring praise. I want you to lift up your voice. That's it. Tarabakataya. Go ahead, everybody, speaking in tongues right now. All over this place, speaking in tongues right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Iradobokotonda rabasaya. Come on now, lift up those tongues. Lift up those tongues right now. Hallelujah. Now you go out there and you be bold. Whew. Tell your neighbor, say, let's be bold. Let's have the greatest revival we've ever had. How many are ready for it? How many are ready for it? Praise God. Amen. Clap your hands. Take this off. Amen. There we go.
Let's give the Lord a praise. Let's magnify him. Bless his name. Don't you appreciate the good word of God tonight? Praise God. I stood in a little town called San Miguel. It's in El Salvador. Brother Dross was just a wee little boy. But I stood there with his mom and his dad. And it's hard for me to describe the building. It was concrete. It was very, very humble. It probably would have reached from this back wall maybe to four rows out here. And not much wider than this center area. It was so packed out with people. And there was a man testifying that night about how his little boy had taken a fall and a spike had been driven into his head. And they didn't have a hospital nearby. They didn't have a doctor. But that little boy was there and he said, but we prayed and we called on the name of Jesus. And God raised him from the dead. But the thing that I saw was the church was there. And the church was shoulder to shoulder. And they were packed into that place. But there were more people standing outside in a driving rain. They were standing out in the street to be close to what God was doing in that place. And I was so impacted by the fact that when God is able to do what he wants to do, when God is able to move like he wants to move, you won't have to worry about people coming. There are going to be too many of them to get into the building, and they'll stand outside in the rain to hear the word of God. I appreciate the word of faith tonight. Does anybody believe that God is able? Oh, let's love on him for a little bit here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, glory. Praise God. In that little town, those folks, they didn't have anything. They were so impoverished. And everything about the place and everything about the church was just so needy and so impoverished. But I couldn't help but think they were so rich in the things of God and so full of the good. I mean, the presence of God was so thick and so good there. God wants to send us that type of revival. God wants you to have shoulder to shoulder, packed in, can't get in more, standing out in the rain. I would stand in the rain to hear the word of God. How about you? Hallelujah. Since we're down here already, reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you, and pray for your brother, your sister, that they be exactly the vessel that God wants them to be. Anointed, blessed, strengthened. Hallelujah. Rain down on this house. Rain down on this people. Every household, every family. Anointing and blessing and strength. Ah, your power, your will, your goodness, oh God. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. To God. And when you begin to see that miracle move in your life and in your body, when you begin to see and you test it out and you say, hey, that something's changed, something's different. I'm having the miracle of God, the fruit of that miracle moving in my life. I want you to let somebody know. I want you to share it with somebody. Share the strength of that miracle. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Draws, for following out the Holy Ghost tonight. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Let's have church. Verse 22, then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And I think they're probably sincere. I think they had been in bondage to the Midianites for generations, and now God had raised up a judge, and I think they're just so glad to have that oppression off of them, and they mean what they're saying. I want you, and after you, I want your son, and after your son, I want your grandson ruling over us, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. but the Lord shall rule over you. So if you're glad for the word of God tonight, let's give God praise and thanks, and let's bless his name. What a good God, and how worthy of all the praise. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. Forever settled, we thank you for the privilege to handle your word in this house tonight. And everyone said in Jesus' name, praise God. So the rule of God in the life of a person or a family or a nation would be what we would call classically a theocracy. It would be God rule, or being governed by God. And that's been the intent of God from the very beginning. But it is a different kind of government. And we're going to take a look at it tonight. And this kind of goes hand in glove, perhaps, with what the emphasis has been the last couple of Wednesday nights. The idea that of God's emphasis on the individual and the power of an individual and the great gifting and potential in the life of an individual. And so a theocracy does not in any way impinge on the idea of how much power there is in the individual. So the first thing that I notice about a theocracy, and the only theocracy that I'm really familiar with, is the one that's delivered to us by the Word of God, is that it is highly individualistic. It is all about the individual. And God has given us this beautiful, powerful gifting of free moral agency and free will. And almost every other structure in the world tries to, and a lot of relationships try to steal that from you. But God gave that to you, and that is sacrosanct, and it is absolutely holy ground, this thing about your free moral agency. And anything that would take that away from you is not anywhere near the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. So the kingdom of God is a theocracy, and it is focused on the individual and the gift of God to the individual of moral agency. And for you to be a part of the kingdom of God, you have to choose to be a part of the kingdom of God. And it is an act of will to come and be a part of the kingdom and to embrace the governing dynamics of the kingdom of God. It's an act of will, and it's an act of choice, as are most everything that you will walk in the course of a day. Glad is a function of will. Love is a function of will. Faith is a function of will. All of those things are things that you participate in by will and by free moral choice. Everybody that comes to participate in the kingdom of God comes by choice, and they, by nature of their relationship with the Word of God, they bow a knee to God and to the values of God. I agree with God, and I agree with what he says. The values of God that's synonymous with the Word of God. And so I agree with God, and I agree with what he says. That's why I'm here on a Wednesday night, and that's why I was here on a Sunday morning, and that's why I was here on Sunday night, and that's why you'll find me as long as I'm able. I'll be in the house of God, and I'll say with David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I serve him not because I have to. I serve him because I want to. You may come because you feel like you have to, but you won't prosper in the kingdom until you get to the want to. You got to have a want to live for God. And it has to be an act of will and choice. And you got to get beyond the want to. You got to get on down to the I love to. I love the house of God, and I love the people of God, and I love the word of God, and I love the song of God, and I love what God is doing, and I love what God has prophesied, and I'm looking forward to every day in the kingdom and the eternity that is looming out there for everyone who loves the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise God. So the kingdom is about the individual and choices, and it's about privilege and responsibility.
It's about all the blessings and the privilege and the goodness, and it's about what that means in terms of my personal behavior, and that I, as a part of the kingdom of God, have to take the kingdom of God on my shoulder and the mandate of God upon my life, and I have to be a vested member of the kingdom. So I walk in privilege, but I walk in responsibility, and they are chosen together. Everybody wants a blessing, but you won't walk in the blessing unless you embrace the responsibility. Now, God's good, and he causes his sun to shine on everybody and his rain to fall on everybody, the just and the unjust. But I'll just tell you, in the kingdom, if you're going to prosper and continue in the kingdom, you've got to embrace both the privilege, the blessing, and the responsibility. It's synonymous with taking ownership. You have to take ownership of the kingdom of God. Brother Stephen's talking about a move of God and revival. And so I stand in the middle of that and I say, it's my revival. There's a move of God here tonight. It's my move of God. There's a great fellowship here tonight. It's my fellowship. There's a promise in the house tonight. It's my promise. There's a blessing moving in the place tonight. It's my blessing. You say, well, that's kind of egotistical or arrogant or selfish. It's none of that. It's just that I have to take ownership of the things of God. I have to possess them as Israel and Abraham had to possess the land. You have to take ownership of those things. Capitalism is Judeo-Christian. We've talked about this at some length, but it is biblical. The idea of private ownership of property and free moral agency and the ownership of your own business or your home or choosing the direction that you go in life and the way you spend your money and those things, those are capitalist ideas. And that comes to you from a broad, I would say capitalism is the economic framing of the Word of God. In the year 1623, the Pilgrims were struggling at Plymouth, and their first governor, a gentleman by the name of William Bradford, he had instituted something that is comparable to communism, communalism, socialist ideas, and it brought them to the brink of starvation. And they weren't getting the results that they wanted to get. And so he, in looking for a solution, he gave each family an inheritance. He gave each family a piece of property, just like God gave Israel, and just like God gave to every tribe, and God gave to every individual family in Israel. He gave them a possession, and it was inviolable. It was something that even if they lost it in poor management, that in the year of Jubilee, they would get it back again. He said, it's really important for you to take ownership. It's really important. You can tell when you're in a neighborhood where people own what they're living in, and in a neighborhood where people don't own what they're living in. Because typically, if you don't take ownership of it, you don't care that much about it. Even if it's got a problem, you'll call the guy that owns it, and he or she will take care of it. There's a difference in taking ownership. I don't want to be a part of a church or a church family or an ideology or a theology that doesn't allow me to take ownership in the kingdom of God, because I don't want to be a renter in the kingdom of God, and I don't want to be a transient in the kingdom of God. I want to walk off some boundaries and say, this belongs to me. Caleb said, I'm ready. I've walked with the unbelievers, but now give me my mountain. Give me my inheritance. And so Bradford does that. He gives them their own property, and it pulls them back from the brink of starvation. And before it's over, in the very first year of that private ownership, they had food and enough to spare and to sell. And they were, with that surplus, they were able to rise up out of desperational living and to stand in a place and to build a robust exporting economy. And this is 150 years before the founding of the United States and this and the Revolution. And this is 150 years before Adam Smith would write The Wealth of Nations. And ownership was the difference between life and death. Bradford called that communal system that almost starved them, he called it communism. And here's what he said. The experience that was had in this common course, I wish you could see the spelling here. It's really older than King James almost. Tried sundry years, and that amongst godly and sober men may well evince or convince the vanity of that conceit of Plato and other ancients, applauded by some of latter times, that the taking away of property and bringing into community into a commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing as if they were wiser than God. He said, if we brought everybody's property together and put it in a common pool, then that would make them flourish and make them productive. He said, they thought, and he goes all the way back to the Greeks with this idea, but he said, they thought they were wiser than God. For this community, so far as it was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and their comfort. For the young men that were most able and fit for labor and service did repine or did resist that they should spend their time and strength to work for other men's wives and children without any recompense. The strong or man of parts had no more in division of victuals or food and clothes than he that was weak and not able to do a quarter the other could. And this was thought injustice, and the aged and the graver men to be ranked and equalized. Now you can agree with this or disagree with this, but you can't move it with a bulldozer, because it's absolutely the fact of how people are. This is why they have to import capitalism into China to feed their people. This is why the Soviet Union folded up and disappeared. This is why Venezuela went from an exporter of oil and a very prosperous nation in South America to a place where they can't get food today. And what is at work there is socialism and bringing everybody's belongings into one common pool. And really it's a lot of other things, but what it does is it takes away the individual will and the individual potential and the individual sense of ownership. And that's what had happened here, and Bradford's just kind of running through it. And for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men as dressing their meat or cooking their food, washing their clothes, they deemed it kind of a slavery. Neither could many husbands well brook it. They didn't like it. Upon the point, all being to have alike and all do alike, they thought themselves in the like condition, and one as good as another. So if it did not cut of those relations that God has set amongst men, yet it did, you think you're hearing Shakespeare, right? Yet it did at least much diminish and take of the mutual respects that should be preserved amongst them. It kind of artificially evened the playing field. And you know what it did? It made everybody equally poor. And it made everybody equally miserable. That's the kind of equity and equality you get when you take away God's plan of free moral agency and free choice. But if you'll turn people loose and you'll give people ownership, they'll rise up in the middle of it and they'll make something out of nothing. Now that works in a community, and that works in an economy, but I'll tell you, that works best of all in the house of God. You've got a gifting, and you've got a song, and you've got a work to do, and you've got a ministry, and we don't want to live without it. And I don't want you to all be the same. I want you to be diverse, and I want you to walk in your strength, and I want you to break out like God made you to break out. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and shout a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And And he says, and would have been worse if they had been men of another condition. Let none object that this is men's corruption and nothing to the course itself. I answer, seeing all men have this corruption in them, God in his wisdom saw another course fitter for them. And Bradford is saying, God planted it in the hearts of people to rise up in ownership and to bring forth the gift and the strength that God put in every one of you. Every one of you is valuable, and every one of you is strong, and every one of you has gifting, and every one of you has ministry, and every one of you has a voice. And it doesn't matter where you came from or how bad the world has been for you. I'm just telling you, there's not a one of you in this house tonight that could not stand up and take ownership of the anointing and the blessing and the gifting of God. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Look at your hand tonight and shout, I've got healing in my hands. The word of God says it. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's not all you have. You've got every good and perfect gift that God has made available to his people and to his church. Praise God. It'd have been boring music tonight if everything on every board and every neck up here was tuned to a C. It sound like bagpipes. At least they've got a little liberty to move, but that underlying note is and it never changes. It's like somebody shoot that thing and stop it, make it stop. Not a big fan. They are pretty compelling sometimes. I guess marching into battle when you know you're going to die. Play that bagpipe. But if everything up here was a C, it would just be... And you would just be like some of our good friends that are monotone. Have you ever stood by somebody in church that was monotone? And they're singing, and they're singing... I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. And people that sing like that don't hear themselves, and they usually sing really loud. I'm thinking of a guy that lives in Georgia. I'm not thinking of anybody here. I'm thinking of a little guy that lives in Georgia, and when he came in the church, he had hair down to the middle of his back. Part of that great Masonry Arts revival. He wanted to be a musician, Brother Cliff, but he might could have learned to play, but he was afflicted in his singing. But you don't want a church like that, and you don't want a world like that. You want God's church and God's body to be a well-tuned orchestra with all sorts of different instruments and all sorts of different sounds and all sorts of different gifts. And I'm so glad that you're not all the same. I'm so glad that God invested in you the power of an individual and the anointing of an individual. And you may not know what your gifting is yet, but it's down inside there. And you may not know what your calling is yet, but it's down inside you. Praise God. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is highly individualistic. And this theocracy is also very, very corporate in its nature, because we are individuals in a body. And we have the privilege of being in a corporate body. And it's a wonderful thing. We'd have to live for God if we had to do it all by ourselves. But I sure do love the church tonight. And I sure am glad to be a part of a revival church. But in that body, I also get privileges from being in that body. There are blessings coming to me because I'm a part of the body. Praise God. And I remember the first time Sister Bonnie started singing at church. And it was like, my wife and I looked at one another and we said, this is on. This is going to be great. And I was, Sister Bonnie, you blew our minds. I was like, I have died and gone to heaven. And I'm ready for her to sing at every service. So that's a blessing that comes to me. And so many of you have so many rich and wonderful things that you are and that you do that are a blessing to everybody else. And those of you who serve and cook and sing and play and minister in so many ways, it's just, and some of you just brighten up the room by walking in and with your big smile and your wonderful spirit. And just, I love the church. And so there's the individual in the culture, and there's the culture in the individual. And when we're working on the corporate part, then we think about, I have to take care of making sure I don't harvest the corners of my fields so that widows and orphans and needy people can come. So I have a responsibility that's incumbent upon me as a part of the people of God to take care of folks that are hurting or folks that are sick, and that falls upon all of us. And that goes all the way back into the Old Testament, reaches into the New, and so there's this corporate responsibility that we have. And we've been making our way through the Old Testament, so we're just recently, freshly familiar with if your donkey or your ox has fallen down under its load out in the street, the law compels me to come and help you. And if you're not there, I have to go and get your donkey up, and then I've got to read its tag number and make sure I can get it back to you, find the owner of that. And so that's a part of my corporate responsibility in the kingdom of God. And when I build a house, I've got to build a wall around the top so when you come over for lunch, you don't fall off and break your neck. And there's a neighborhood watch program in the Word of God. It's if I hear you screaming for help and somebody's roughing you up in your front yard, I have to go and help you. And I have to go and deliver you. And if I see somebody killing you and I don't do anything about it, I'm guilty of your blood. So it's highly individualistic, but it's also very, very attentive to the needs of the corporate body or the corporate nation in the case of Israel. And thirdly, it is this theocracy. It is God's value system. It's God's hierarchical value system. And when I bow my knee to God, I bow my knee to those values. And it's a shared system. That's why we're here tonight. We're here tonight because we believe God is one. We're here tonight because we believe in baptism in Jesus' name. We're here tonight because we believe in the infallible Word of God. We're here tonight because we believe in the Holy Ghost. And we believe that when you get it, you talk in tongues. We're here tonight because we rally around the power and the goodness and the plan of God as is given to us by the Word of God. And it's a shared value system. And so we love God first, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves secondly. And we believe in the golden rule to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. And so Israel was a kingdom with a constitution, which was the Word of God, and it was their law, both their moral and theological law, but it was their ethical and civil law. And they were a kingdom of free men. They had free moral agency. They had freedom of speech, freedom of commerce, and that is a reflection of God's will and God's intent. They had private ownership of property. They were educated and they were literate because God told them to write the Word of God on their doorpost and write it on the sleeves of their garment. And you can't do that if you can't read and you can't write. And so they were an interesting crowd in that time frame back in those biblical days. And they had a personal responsibility under the law and a corporate responsibility to enact the law. And so they were working on their individual situation, and they were cognizant of the corporate and the collective. God's people are led by the Spirit of God. In a theocracy, you are led. Romans 8 declares that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in a theocracy, in that framing that we're talking about here tonight, We are, as individuals, led of the Holy Ghost. We are led of the Spirit. Has anybody heard from God this week? Has God been talking to anybody? Has God answered some questions or led you to make a decision or talk to you about what you should do or what should be your course of action? I'm so glad that we hear from God. Praise God. The patriarchs, the leaders of families, the tribes in the Old Testament were all led of God. Abraham was led out of Ur, and Moses was led to go back to Egypt, and Israel was led. They were governed by the structure of the law, but they were led by that tower of cloud and fire in the wilderness. We're talking about a theocracy and what it looks like. What does it look like to be the people of God, and what does it look like to be ruled of God? They had come out from under Pharaoh, and Moses had led them, but really it was God that was ruling over them. And when they suggested that Gideon should be their ruler, he said, "No, I'm not doing it, and my son's not going to do it, but you're going to be ruled over by God." And I'll just tell you, that is optimum in the kingdom of God. You have to have the kind of relationship with God that God is your ruler, and we are connected together, but you are here as an individual, an autonomous individual in the house of God with free will to exercise. You came in the door by choice, and God is going to make something out of you by your compliance and by your choice and by your interaction with the promise of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. One of the most common descriptives that God uses about Israel is that they are stiff-necked. They are rigid, and they will not follow God's commandment. They will not be ruled by God. And it may be underlying in their request of Gideon that they didn't want God to rule them. They wanted a Pharaoh in their life, or they wanted a Moses in their life. But Gideon's telling them, you've got to be a strong individual to stand and let God rule your life. So he can't, you know, the word of God says God will lead you by the eye. And that means he just looks, and you're, as his servant, really responsive to him. And you're so closely connected to God that you follow and you feel the nuance of his movements. And you're easily led by the Spirit of God. But the Bible says he will lead you by the bit. And he can turn you around. And he did through the course of the book of Judges. He would bring the Midianites or the Moabites or somebody in to crush them and to oppress them. And then when they cried out to God, then God would deliver them. But that was the bit. And you really don't want the bit. And God doesn't want to use the bit on you. Now he'll use structure, and he'll use early relational dynamics with you when you're just starting to live for God. But there has to come a time when you grow up and you're no longer children blown about by every wind of doctrine, but you become a mature man and a mature woman in the house of God, and you're not on milk anymore, but now you're eating meat at the table of the King, and you're there because you want to be there and you choose to be there, and you say, "I come with a gift into the house of God, and I come with my own fire in the house of God, and I don't walk in all weak and beat up, and I'm in need every time I come in the house, somebody else carrying me, or somebody else mending me, or somebody else holding me up. But I've come to the house of God to hold somebody else up. I've come to the house of God to be a part of the strength and a part of the answer, and not an invalid, not a immature child in the house of God." One of the most common moral judgments that God makes about Israel is that they are adulterous. They are adulterous because they're always looking for something else to love, something else to embrace. They're always impulsive, and their tendency is to be unfaithful, and they're always led astray. They didn't serve God very well under Moses. They didn't serve God well under Joshua or the judges or the kings. And this is an old story in the Word of God. But there's always somebody that by choice does the right thing.
Abel offers the right sacrifice. He pays for it. And we see his brother Cain, but Abel lives the ideal. And Noah's whole world gets washed away, but Noah stands up and he lives for God. And Abraham left everything to follow after God. And Joseph had everything taken from him. He didn't step out and go of his own will and volition, but he kept his head screwed on straight, and his attitude was exemplary, and he found the place of the dream of God in his life, but it cost him everything. And Daniel and the three and Ezekiel and they're always individuals that stand and do it dynamically in the kingdom of God. And that is the nature of the kingdom of God. And that's when the kingdom's working at its best. And what you're seeing in those individuals, whether they be judges or whether they be prophets like Daniel or Ezekiel, you're finding individuals there that are examples of people who stand up in their individual power and in their individual calling in the kingdom of God, no matter what anybody else is doing, no matter the circumstances. And they have overcome their world, and they're standing. That is the perfect position for us to be standing in tonight. Now, when we get to 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel is tired, and they're tired of the season of the judges, and they want a king. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us now a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. It's really important that you get this. It's really important that you hear this and that you embrace and know this. God is looking for someone to, by will and choice, come into his kingdom, stand in his promise, and not want somebody to rule over them, not want a Pharaoh for a pastor, not want a dictator to tell them what to do, when to stand, when to run, when to pray, when, all right, you gotta, because you've got to have your own individual prayer life, and you've got to have your own individual consecration, and you've got to have that vibrant relationship with God, and you are stunted in your growth and crippled in your approach to the kingdom of God if somebody has to ride herd on you. This thing called a pastor is not a driver of sheep. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. You just take off in that direction and they follow. Jesus said, My sheep know my voice. And I want you to understand, you weren't called into the kingdom to have to be forced into a lifestyle or forced into an activity, and you ought not be here by guilt, and you ought not be here by fear, but you ought to be here by love and by grace and by the anointing of God. And that's where you find the good stuff, and that's where it's real in your life, and that's where the miracle breaks loose, and that's where you and God can really do some business. And that's where you and your strength and me and my strength, that's where one of you can set 1,000 to flight, but two of you can set 10,000 to flight. And there's a lot more than two here tonight. How much trouble could we cause for hell tonight if everybody stood up in the calling of God and in the anointing of God? Now you grow up into your own independent individualism by submission, because when you're brand new in the kingdom of God, it's like being a little child, and you have to have authority in your life, and you have to have somebody that tells you how to walk and what to do and how, what it all means, and that just makes common sense. But if you've been in the kingdom of God for 5 or 10 years, you ought to be growing up. You ought to be standing strong. You ought to be bearing fruit. You ought to be in a place of ministry. You ought to be in a place where you're building the kingdom and you're building those around you, and where you're a well of living water, and where there's a river that rises up in you and living water comes out of you. That's God's intent. You are the kingdom of God and its representative everywhere you go. And we're talking about the dynamics of a theocracy. When you're, this is not a religion to you. This is a relationship. This is not something that you were born into and you're walking it socially, culturally. If you're here, and if you're here because you were raised in it, and it just, it's your world and it's how you're framed up, but you never did take ownership of it yourself, you're going to have to do that someplace. You can't just walk this as a third or fourth generation product and be boxed in by the framing of somebody else's experience. But God has something for you. God has something dynamic for you, and God has something real for you, and there's something that God wants to bring forth out of you that's going to be bread for your world and light for your world and anointing for the church. And we can't wait to see what you bring to the game. We can't wait to see what you bring to the mix. Somebody say, tell your neighbor, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in you. Does anybody here believe the best is yet to come? Does anybody believe that the best songs are yet to be sung, and the best sermons are yet to be preached, and the best prayers are yet to be prayed? I really do believe it tonight. Praise God. Everybody that survives in the kingdom has to submit to leadership. But you do it by will and by choice. Praise God. I'm not a part of the church because I have to. I'm a part of the church because I choose to. I'm a part of the church because I love it. I'm a part of the church because I couldn't imagine living without it. I'm a part of the church, and I can't understand standing at the fence looking over on the other side, wondering how it would be to be out there. I'll tell you what it's like out there. It's crazy out there, and it's unfulfilling out there, and it'll sap the life right out of you. And I'm just going to tell you, for all of the craziness you might find in the church, friend, the world got its own brand of crazy going on. And I would rather be with crazy in the church. You say, well, there's people in the church that are not right. Well, that's because he went out into the highways and byways and invited everybody to come in. Everybody, aren't you glad he invited everybody in? Because God believes there's a diamond in the rough out there. Somebody he can dig up that'll turn into a champion in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Yeah, we're just a bunch of people in here. It's more like a hospital than a museum. Praise God. But is anybody really glad to be a part of the church tonight? I am so thrilled that God let me in. I'm so glad the church let me in. That the light was on, the fire was still there. I'm so glad I had a straight-laced, authoritarian preacher. God knew exactly what I needed. I had sworn I would never come under the influence of another individual like that as long as I lived. And I just ate the whole crow in that altar. Because my pastor was old school, straight-laced. And I would say, why? And he would say, because I said. And oh, that was the last thing I wanted to hear. It was the epitome of the word excruciating. I ask about him tonight. His son told me, I asked Pastor Young there in Sacramento how the young couple was that was living in his garage apartment. They've moved in to his garage apartment. And I asked him, how are those young people that moved into your garage there? You know, how's that working out? And I am so glad for
for what the church was and what it did. And we were oil and water in so many ways, but I was wrong in so much. And I needed the church. And I needed to hear them pray. And I needed to see them bring forth. I'm here because I want to be here. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. And I'll just tell you, there's a whole crowd of people that are waiting to be born, that are hungry for what you're having tonight. There is a crowd of people in this city that are sitting there and they're tired of the drink because it's not doing what they want, and they're tired of the drugs because it's not doing what they want, and they're tired of the career because it's not what they want, and they're tired of the money because it's not buying them everything they want, and they just don't think, they're at the point of despair because they don't know that there's anything else. But you're going to walk in their life and you're going to turn on the light and you're going to open in the book, and they're going to have a brand new thing happen to them. My God, I'm excited. Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Let's give God some praise and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. So we're, you know, the fivefold ministry in the church, it's a ministry of facilitation. We are in the fivefold ministry. I think the most important thing we do is facilitate your coming in and being framed up and formed up to see what you will become in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. Our job is not to rule over you, and don't think about it in those terms. Our job is to build you, and we are farmers, and we are husbandmen, and we are like vine dressers and shepherds, and none of that, you know. Metaphors break down around the edges on all of that because you have that wonderful capacity of free moral agency, and I can tie a vine where I want it and it just goes where I want it, but I can tie you up and when I come back you're gone, and there's no telling where you're gone because you got that free moral agency thing going on, and I can pretty much control a sheep, but you are in some ways like one, but in a lot of ways you are not like a sheep at all. But when Jesus is calling, he says, come unto me. Everybody say, come unto me. That's an act of will. Anybody here want to come into the presence of God and come into all that God has for you? Is there anybody here that wants to respond and say yes to God? Because he calls you once, he calls you the first time, but he never quits calling. Has anybody heard from him today? And he's calling you closer, and he's calling you higher, and he's calling you deeper. Is anybody hearing from God in prayer? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. He didn't say, and I'm going to put a yoke on your neck, and I'm going to control you. He said, you're going to take that yoke, and you're going to put it on your own neck. It's a yoke. It's a mechanical device. And God's on one side of it, and you're on the other side of it. And I'll tell you, it's a good deal, because you're going to get more done than you ever would have gotten done by yourself. Is there an amen in the house? But I've got to reach down and I've got to take that yoke and I've got to put it upon. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I've got to make it a lifetime project to continue to learn about him. Because I'll just tell you, we don't do much in the realm of the political, and we don't do much in the realm of the church political. And organizational things are good, and you can reach further with organizational efforts than you'd ever reach as an individual or an individual church. And I see the purpose, and I love the brethren. I really do. But I want you to know that you have to define and refine the power of that individual that God has given you. You really have to do that. And you can't just be a part of an organization.
And you can't just be a part, even of a local church. And you can't just be a part of somebody else's ministry. But you've got to actualize what God has called you into. And you've got to become what God has called you to become. Somebody say praise the Lord. Lindsay, come and play some music of some sort. So we're gathered here, and tonight we worshiped God, and we worshiped because we want to. How many of you worship tonight because you think God is good and that God is worthy and that praise God? You know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. You like secrets? Laura, you're telling the secrets right now. Stop it. Over here whispering to your mama in the middle of church. Goodness gracious. I know it doesn't. So, secret. Now I've gone off the rails here. I wanted for years to do something that Brother Johnny King does in their church in Calgary, Canada. You know what they do? They don't pass an offering plate. And they don't sing an offering song. I love to give. I love to give. I love to give, 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 give. We don't. They don't sing a give. They don't sing an offering song. They just love God. And everybody just gives. And that church, in all of its history, has been one of the most notable churches for giving in foreign missions and other areas. Just a very giving church. But you know what? During this COVID thing, when we've been up here preaching to empty pews, it didn't bother me at all, I'll tell you that. Because I don't preach because of your response, Brother Kadarius. If you start crying, I don't care. I'm still coming after you. And if I'm preaching happy and you're not happy, I don't care. I'm going to keep preaching that. Because I already heard from God. And I love you, I really do. But I know it's the bread that comes from His kitchen that's going to take care of what you need. And I don't have to scratch your ear, and that's a bad place to go. But do you know that during this COVID thing, you guys hadn't backed off at all? That your offerings are strong and your tithing is regular and you're still supporting just like you supported all the time that we were here and we were passing the little plate and saying, I love to give, I love to give. It's okay, Dawson, I'm going to quit in just a minute, man. And I'm thinking we may just go on like we are. Because you hadn't missed a lick. But you know what that tells me, Carabel? Her name is not Carabel, but I've always called her Carabel ever since she was this tall. And so I'm going to keep on doing that until she makes me quit. But you know what that told us, Sister Carol? Sister Witherspoon? Huh?
That we're really invested and we really love
her. Ho! That you've taken ownership, that you're the real deal, that you really are invested in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. And we don't have to bring somebody in, especially to make you cry, so that you'll give an offering. And we don't have to stand and we don't have to have a big production and say, all right, now who's going to give $100? We need $100. I need a... I don't know if that makes you uncomfortable. That makes me uncomfortable. Just give the $100. Make them go away. Stop it. But you know what? I think you're the real deal. I think you've taken ownership. I think you're invested. I've got the proof of it tonight. You've gone through a little test, and you said, that don't bother me at all. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to give. I'm still going to serve. I'm still going to get up and put on my best pajamas and attend church on the internet. Somebody give God some praise and magnify him right now. Bless his name. Come on, let's give him some praise. Come on, somebody lift up a voice. Somebody praise him. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. I think we're gonna. Praise singer's gonna hate me. I make them all run up here and then I don't let them sing. Don't you appreciate them? Don't they do great work? Aren't they a blessing? So here's what's happening. God is drawing right now. And there are hungry people in this city that are going to come and fill these altars. And as they come, they have to have mentors. And they have to learn how to pray by hearing you pray. And they have to watch you. And I have to be able to take one on the side and say, now, you watch this sister or you watch this brother. Do what they do. Walk like they walk. Love God like they love God. And you're gonna succeed in the kingdom of God. We need you full grown. And we need you absolutely passionate. And we need you heavily invested in what God has purposed in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Once more, let's give him some praise and magnify him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. You know who I pastor? I pastor folks that want to be pastored. You know who I'm not interested in pastoring? I am not interested in folks that don't want to be pastored. Matter of fact, you can't anyway. I love pastoring this church. I really do. I love what God's doing in you. I love your craziness. I love your energy. I love your passion. I love your giftedness. I love what God's doing in you. And it's my pleasure and my honor to pastor this church. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight. And we'll see you again on Sunday morning. We're going to have great, great church. Somebody say praise the Lord.